for this moment and time. Thank you for your scripture. Thank you for Jesus Christ, for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for everything you're doing in this church, in everyone here also. Thank you for everyone that is here today, because I know you have a blessing for them. You have a blessed word, miracle, blessings, everything. You have a great things for everyone here today. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask you to be here, you speaking, the Holy Spirit touching the hearts, not me. Like always, I'm asking you, please, God, remove me out of this picture and be you speaking, please. Be you talking to the church, not me, but you, please. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Okay, church. Everyone okay? Hear me well? Let me know if I'm too loud. I can control it from here. Okay, so please, please and please, this is nothing related to what's going on right now in the world. God, just bring me some scriptures, okay? I don't want to give some glory or attributes to whatever is happening outside of the world, okay? I just want to be specific on that. So I just want to make sure that whatever we're going to share today is going to be just because God wants to share that word. And today we're going to talk about signs. That's why, okay? I just want to be specific. Yeah, tomorrow we will have an experience of something, another thing, that's it. But I just want to share from God's heart what he is stipulating in his scripture about signs, really quick, okay? What is a sign? So when we look and learn more and study a little bit more about signs, I want to specify some definitions and what it says on the scriptures and also outside. So the definition of signs, it is a feature or note that is put or present on things to make them know and distinguish them from others. It means a pledge of proof of something that is promised to be fulfilled. Okay? Also, some interpretation in the scripture, like in the Greek or Hebrew, it says that it is an indication. Indicates something. The sign indicates a revelation, a fulfillment of something. That's why we understood when we're learning and studying what is the meaning of the word signs in the Bible. Also, some people have the definition of that word as a miracle. But there's two different things of miracle. Because miracle, it is something that is not understandable. It is something inexplicable. It is something that by natural laws are attributed to supernatural intervention or divine origin. That's God. That's a miracle from God. And some other people also get confused with magic. Magic is a different term. It's not miracle. Magic is going to be something that it can be attributed as a human or maybe something demonic. If we go to the history and learn more about it. But miracle is something that is from God. Something that is inexplicable from him, that he created, that he did it, and we don't know how, but we will give the glory to him. Amen? Now, a sign is something that is showing a fulfillment of some revelation. And that's what we like to talk today. We can talk about, like, for example, in Psalm, I believe it's 134. I don't have a specific here, but it says, "Give thanks to the Lord of Lords. His love endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, his love endures forever." Now, when we talk about signs, we can describe that in the Bible like the rainbow. We know the story about the rainbow after the flood. God put that as a sign. That's a sign. A fulfillment of something that happened. Also, we can talk about the circumcision. As you guys know, the Jews did that as a sign so they know that they have a covenant with God. We can talk about pilgrimage in the desert, struggles and victories in Canaan, the works of God in Egypt, bloodshed on the doors. That's a sign. That's a sign that God revealed to the people and say, hey, this is just a revelation, a fulfillment of something. Now, how we can confirm also this. In the prophecy, when we're talking about prophecy, the first coming of Jesus Christ, Isaiah 7:11, it says, ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depth or in the highest height. But say, I will not ask, I will not put the Lord to the test. Then Isaiah say, hear now, you house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. A sign. We're asking for that, but then God is saying, I will manifest the sign. Don't worry. I got it. I got you. Don't try to control this. Don't try to you manifest the signs. Also, we can talk about in the prophecy like the second coming of Jesus Christ. The second coming of the Lord in glory will be a powerful sign from God. Let's go to Matthew 24:30. It says, then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then all the peoples of the earth will mourn when they see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Also Matthew 3, what it says, Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, tell us, they say, when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Everything is over there. You can go to Matthew 24 and study yourself, and you will see some signs and some stuff that is supposed to happen on the earth, right? Now, what is the point of all this? Also, when we're talking about the signs of the Antichrist, 2 Thessalonians, it says 2:8, and then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming. Hallelujah for that one. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with how Satan works. He will use all sorts of displays of power through signs and wonders that serve the lie. That's why we have to be careful. And all the ways that wickedness deceives those who are perishing. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. For the reason God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie. Now let's go into the real story over here, Matthew. Now that we explain the difference between signs, miracles, wonders, name it, we like to express to you guys what it says in the Bible from Jesus Christ in Matthew 12. Let's go to Matthew 12. And we're going to specifically verse 38. Okay. Then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law say to him, teacher, we want to see a sign from you. This is the Pharisees asking Jesus Christ signs. I want to see signs. Bless you. He answered, a wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. Jesus Christ, they asking him, show me a sign. I want to see a sign. I want a proof. I want making sure that you are the Messiah. He already did I don't know how many, but he did a lot of signs over there. He did a lot of miracles, wonders already, right? Multiplication, healing, salvation, a lot of signs, a lot of wonders. And then there's the Pharisees over there saying, show me, I want more confirmation. And that's the first thing that I want to share with you guys, confirmation. People want confirmation anyway they already experience things in their life. You and I, we already have some experience with God. We have some experience with Jesus Christ. But anyway, we as a human being, we demand to God, show me more. Because I'm still like, I don't know. Or maybe I'm still like living in this world, in this life, some problems and situation, and I'm now doubting a little bit more about what you're doing in my life. He already showed us the way. He already showed us the life, the truth. He already showed everything to us. We just need to continue believing in him, having faith in him. But sometimes we are demanding that confirmation like the Pharisees. We want more. And I know and I understand. That's fine. Because we're living, again, in this body, in this flesh that wants some things. But we have to be careful. Because sometimes when we are demanding and asking, as you guys already saw in the Bible, it says and express, don't demand those stuff because God already showed you the miracles, the wonders, the signs. We have to be careful because then you see Jesus Christ saying over here, don't be adulterous. Don't be a wicked people because I already show you. What is adulterous? That means you already experienced something. You have a relationship with God, but now because something is happening in your life, now you want to remove God out of your life and now follow what is happening in your life. That's the purpose of the enemy. Now, what is happening over here, it is that this is happening during the Sabbath. When we go to the beginning of chapter 12, you will see that the Pharisees and the law, religious people over there, they were asking Jesus Christ, what are you doing? Your people are harvesting right now. And saying, they're not harvesting. They're just removing there because they want to eat. They're hungry. Remember, the Sabbath, they're supposed to not do any work. Okay? Now, they're not supposed to do anything. They grab that because they are hungry. They want to eat. And then they say, Jesus Christ said to them, well, do you remember what happened with David when he was eating from the preposition bread? I was saying in Spanish. My bad. So they were. Jesus Christ was referring that story back in David when he was doing that. And he said, are you going to judge him? Because if you're going to judge him, then yeah, you can judge me. But if you're not judging David, you cannot judge me. Jesus Christ was going over the law. But he was in compliance of the law. He said, I'm not here just to not comply with the law. I'm here because I want to comply with the law and I'm going to show you. But then these people, the Pharisees, they have like 39 rules that they established for the Sabbath. And one of them, it was that one, that they cannot harvest. That's why they were condemning the people that it was with Jesus Christ. So out of those 39, there was a mixture of the culture of Jewish people, but also the law established by Moses, or God through Moses. Okay? So that was a mixture over there. And because of that, they create those religious things from the man, not from God, to establish us on the Sabbath. And now you see Jesus Christ, we can continue reading the story, and you guys know that he say, I am the Sabbath. Praise God for that. But for the people over there, the Pharisees would say, who you are? What are you talking about? You are the Sabbath? Whoa, wait a second. Because they cannot understand that he was a fulfillment. He was a sign from God. A fulfillment from God on the earth. Let's continue. Matthew chapter 12. Let's continue with verse 40. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The man of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And now something greater than Jonah is here. That's Jesus Christ. The queen of the south will rise at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom. And now something greater than Solomon is here. Jesus Christ, talking about himself. What he's saying over here, what he's explaining in these scriptures. He's saying, well, you have two different stories. Number one, the Queen of South. She came from the end of the, a different part, a really, a different far away from Solomon's kingdom or place. And she decided to go over there. And went over there just because she was listening or hearing something about Solomon's wisdom. And that God was with Solomon, okay? So now she's going over there and she wanted to have the presence of what she was listening. You and I, we already listen. We already heard about Jesus Christ. We already know about his kingdom. We already know about everything that he's doing in your life, in my life, in another life. What wonders he's doing. You and I already know. Jesus Christ is saying, that woman, the queen of the south, the queen of Sheba, she will be standing up in front of us and say, hey, I believe. I believe. So you don't have excuses. That's what Jesus Christ is saying over here. He's saying, we have the story. We read it. It is in the Old Testament. You Pharisees, you have to believe in what happened. So I am that. I am that reality. I am the sign. Don't demand me to show you a sign from heaven. Don't demand me to show you anything. I already show you. I am the sign. That's what Jesus Christ was telling them, literally. That's why also he presented them the story about Jonah. He say, these people from Nineveh, they will stand up in front of you in the judgment day and say, we believe in that sermon, in that message from Jonah, the prophet. And Jesus Christ is telling them, it's already there. It is written. Let's believe in that. Trust in that. God will see that more beautiful, more powerful than you demanding, God, show me, because if you show me whatever I'm requesting to you, then I will believe. You follow me? That's the point. God wants us to just believe in him and trust in him. He already did something in your life. Whatever you experience and I experience is totally different, each of us. But we know that it was God in our life. We don't have to ask for any confirmation, because then we can get to this point of the Pharisees, and we don't want that. And when I was asking God this week, why you want me to talk about, this is the verses that he wants me to show and share with you guys, and that's how we get to the point of the signs. Verse 43, when an impure spirit comes out of a person. It goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. That's what they're looking. That's what they are looking to be and live. Then he says, I will return to the house I left. When it arrives, it finds the house unoccupied. Swept clean and put in order. Come on. God show you. You have your own experience. You have your own wonder or miracle from God with your life that you know it was him. The impure mentality, or maybe the impure spirit already flee out of your body, out of your life. Because when he was inside of you, according to scripture, he's looking for that dry place. We were dry without Jesus Christ. And because we were dry, the impure spirit, maybe it was inside of us, living in us. But now that we have the experience with Jesus Christ, we have the wonders with him, the miracles, whatever experience that you have, he flee, because you're giving the glory to God. Amen? Okay. Now, it says, then it goes and takes with it seven other spirits, more wicked than itself. And they go in and live there. And the final condition of that person is worse than the first. That is how it will be with this wicked generation. That's the scripture that he wants me to share. And that's how we get to the signs. Because this is related to the signs. You know what happened with the people of God. The Jewish people. The Hebrews people. During the desert. They keep asking. They keep asking for more stuff. Miracles. Wonders. God already showed you everything. We need to continue just believing in him. Trusting in him. That's what he's asking from us. Do not believe what is happening in your life, in that moment, in that situation or problem that you're going through. He's just demanding from us to believe in him and trust in him. That's why Jesus Christ told them, you adulterous and wicked people, asking and demanding for these signs. We will not give in to you. Because you already have your experience. You already have that sign from God in your life. I like to emphasize that Jesus was not endorsing disobedience here of the law, but the importance of having discernment and compassion when applying the laws. Let's go really quick to Luke, because the parallel scriptures of Matthew 12, it is in Luke 11. So let's go to Luke 11, and let's just share really quick some stuff that is here, that is not in Matthew, that is really interesting. 11, and let's go to verse 29. As the crowds increased, Jesus said, this is a wicked generation. And before that, he was, here is a little bit out of order in comparison with Matthew 12. But you can see that it's related to the same thing. He's talking about this spirit, impure spirit, getting out of the body, related to the signs. But then, now that you have that experience, the impure spirit flee, he's looking a place where to leave. He couldn't find it. Let me go back to the house that I were. Why he's asking to going back to the house? Because these wicked people, adulterous people, is asking for more confirmation when they already have it. And now when he get over there, he see the house, your body, clean, pure, because you already experienced God in your life. But the important detail that we find out over here, really important, it is that he says that it was unoccupied. You let the Spirit of God flee out of your life because you want to demand stuff sometimes. Like these adulterous people. That's why the scripture, Jesus Christ was saying, when the Spirit come back, if it founds the house unoccupied. Now there's nothing over there. There's no one over there. Because the people are demanding this stuff. You're supposed to keep filling your body, the Holy Spirit in your life, so that will continue being full in your life. And that's why we're going to share here in Luke 11. It says, let's go to verse 31. The queen of the south will rise at the judgment with the people of this generation and condemn them, for she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom, and now something greater than Solomon's is here. The man of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented and preaching of Jonah, and now something greater than Jonah is here. Now, I want to go to verse 11:28. He's talking about the spirits leaving, come back, clean the house and everything. And then verse 28 says, he replied, bless rather. Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Simple. Don't demand. Listen, obey it. That's what happened with the people of Nineveh. When we go to Jonah, what it says? Jonah 2:8. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. This is Jonah inside of the big fish, praying to God. And the revelation over here is saying, those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. And that's what's happening in our life. We are seeking the problems, the situations. We are letting them to overcome our life, and then we forget about the mercy of God. And when we forget the mercy of God, there's no love in our hearts. And because there's no love in our hearts, then we start demanding to God stuff, demanding those signals. And God wants us to understand, I already give you the signals. Obey the word. Follow it. Continue walking on that word that I already gave you. John 20:29. Then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. This is Thomas. So today I can say, thank you, Thomas. Because I didn't live in that moment with Jesus Christ physically, right? When he was on the earth, on the body. But thank you of Thomas, I can use that as a justification and say, I didn't see you physically here on the earth, but I believe you. I trust you. I have confidence in you. So because of that, I'm blessed, according to this. Amen, hallelujah. 1 John 3:10, this is how who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not God's children or child. Nor is anyone who does not love their brother and sister. John 3:7-30, he says, as these they tried to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him, because his hour had not yet come. Still, many in the crowd believe in him. They say, when the Messiah comes, will he perform more signs than these men? No. John 10:37. Do not believe me unless I do the works of my Father. Jesus Christ is talking right now. This is him saying these words. The own Jesus Christ is saying this. Do not believe me unless I do the works of my Father. He's putting his Father first. And he's saying, do not believe me unless I do the works of my Father. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you might know and understand that the Father is in me and I in the Father. Again, they tried to seize him, but he escaped in that moment. It was too much stuff, too much good, deep revelation words for them right now to handle over there in that moment. So what I'm trying to say today to you guys is we have signs. We have experienced some things in our life. We just need to believe in that. And do not let anything moving you to any other location or place or believing. Because we're always going to experience stuff in our life. We're always going to experience difficult situations in our life. And the enemy wants us to get out of the path of God, doing those stuff in our life. You have your own, I have mine. It's not the same. But the principle in there is the same. Believing in the confirmation of God. Believing in that confirmation. I want to share the last two things with you guys. Number one, it was confirmation. Number two, they do not believe. That's why there are people asking for more signs. Why the people keep asking for more signs? They hope to get something also. Those three things. Number one, for confirmation. And you can see that through the scripture. Like, for example, we have Gideon asking for confirmation. Give me sign, give me sign, give me sign. And keep asking for more signs. But God already talked to you. And then number two, they do not believe because they're starting seeing the problems and situation in their life. And the last one, they hope to get something. Like the multitudes, people over there. They were seeking Jesus Christ because the bread, the fish, the food, the benefits that they were getting, but not really the inside core of the miracle, which it was Jesus Christ in their life, salvation in their life, not the benefits. The benefits will come by itself. Don't worry about that. The benefits will come by itself. We will continue praising God for those benefits. But the main core of this is believing in Jesus Christ. Believing in Him, having faith in what He's doing in your life, the wonders that He's doing in your life and in your family. That's what He wants us to understand. Believe in that. Believe in Him. And He will continue blessing us and blessing all the family members and friends that you have in your life. So today I just want to leave you with that. And I want to pray for your life right now. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. Thank you for the scriptures. Thank you for the revelation of your word. Thank you for everything that you're doing in us. We praise you. We worship you. We declare your glory in our life. Thank you. Because we believe in the signs that you already did in our life, independently. Thank you. We're not going to start demanding you more signs. Because we already trust in you. We already have the confidence in you. We have to also be careful, God, that those impure spirits, they're not coming back, because if they're coming back, it can be worst of our life before accepting Jesus Christ in us. So we trust in you. We have the confidence that you will continue blessing our life and blessing everyone here. We ask you, Lord, to continue blessing everyone in this place. Continue blessing their life. Continue blessing them in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We praise you. We worship you. Thank you. We believe in you. We trust in you. And I know and we know that you already fulfill our hearts with you, with your presence. Thank you for that. Thank you for your mercy. We're going to continue trusting in you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. As you guys know, every beginning of the month, every Sunday, we do the communion. So I like to present to you guys the communion before we go home today. And according to 1 Corinthians 11:23, it says, "For I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you." The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So this is Jesus Christ. We already talked about this last week because it was Sunday of Resurrection. We celebrate this on Good Friday. We continue celebrating. like I always say, you guys already know me. We're doing this as a remembrance, but this is something that we should be remembering every single day. Not just one Sunday every month. Every day, we remember Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That He, in the last moment, the Last Supper, He present His body, He break it and say, thank you, God, for this moment, for this opportunity to save the world. In the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. Amen. That's a sign. His second coming. Amen. Hallelujah for that one. And we're doing this right now in remembrance of Him. Because we know for sure that it's going to happen. We have that confidence, that faith in our hearts. And that's why we're doing this. Dear Heavenly Father, thank